As we face the book, which is God's Word, and what it says to us and about us, is it, when we grab a hold of that, it will begin to transform our lives, right? We've talked about that over the weeks, and we're going to pick up today where we left off last week in the book of James chapter 1. And it says this, and I think I have it on the screen. There's several slides, Corey. So if you guys can read that, I'd like us to read it together out loud. Could we do that? Let's read it. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing, he will be blessed in what he does." So the title of the message today is reflection. That's what that passage of scripture is talking about. It's about reflection. And so I stole for a day my wife's mirror. Yeah, don't want to break that. So reflection. When we all use a mirror every day of our lives, right? Whether we're combing our hair, trimming our beard or mustache, putting on makeup, putting in contact, brushing your teeth, whatever, shaving, whatever it is, we every day use a mirror, and we're used to looking at ourselves in the mirror, right? Are we all, is there nobody that, or is there anybody in here that doesn't look in the mirror? Yeah. I asked for that one. Yeah. Poof. That was a home run. Yep. Thanks, Carrie. Yeah, yeah. Yep. You are a rock star. I love it. Everybody but Carrie looks in the mirror. Yes, yes. But we all look at the mirror. We all use a mirror to improve our physical appearance, right? And so we're used to this. This book is the exact same thing. This book is a mirror for us to look at our spiritual self and to be able to make the adjustments and allow God to make the transforming moves and changes in our life. This is a mirror that we are supposed to be looking at in a day. The Word of God is a spiritual mirror, okay? So as we face the book, it reveals who God is, okay? We learn who God is, but we don't necessarily, that doesn't give us a relationship with him. You picking up what I'm throwing down? That is by spending time with him. The Word of God shows us who God is. The time we spend with God is how we get to know him. Okay, so the idea of the next 2 weeks is to really open that up, but not just to know who God is, but to know who we are in God. That's the thing that I want us to get a hold of this week and next week is that, okay? So this book is that mirror that we look into to discover who we are and what we look like spiritually. The Word of God is our spiritual mirror, like I said. And as we face this book, it reveals who God is and who we are and God's promises to us, okay? This is important stuff. So the mirror in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says." When I was reading that word deceive, I was like, God, what do you mean by deceive? What does it mean to be deceiving ourselves? Well, the definition of deceive is this: to lead into error, to cause to believe what is false or disbelieve what is true, to impose upon, to mislead, to cheat, to disappoint, to delude, to ensnare. So what is the deception that James is talking about here? It's this: reading and listening to this book will change your life, but it won't change your life until you do what it says. And that's where we deceive ourselves. We can just read the book, or we can put it under our pillow and sleep on it at night, and hopefully osmosis is going to let it sink into our brain. But until we do what it says, we're deceived. And if we're not doing what it says, then we're going to be led into paths that are deceptive as well. And we're going to be led in the wrong way. We're going to start believing things that are false and not believing the things that are true. And Paul talks about that in 1 Timothy, right? In the last days, people will give up sound doctrine. They'll give up those things. They'll begin to be led astray. It's all about the tickling of the ear. Well, if the pastor is really funny today, then that was a good message, right? Will be led astray. So we need to understand what this book says about who God is and who we are, and we're supposed to live it out. That's what James is talking about. Just reading it will not change our lives. Our lives will be transformed by this book when we do what it says. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, do what it says. You have been challenged now, right? When we live out the principles in the Word of God, it will begin to change, transform our lives. Now, let me explain it this way. Okay, what if I told you that Sam's Club in Great Falls was running this amazing deal that if you buy a 24-pack of AA batteries, you get a 60-inch big screen HD TV for free? You guys would probably get up and leave right now, wouldn't you? I would. I'd be gone, right? A free TV. But you're not going to get that free TV until you do what? Until you go to Sam's Club and buy batteries, right? You don't get the TV unless you go. I'm kidding, don't leave, right? You're going to be sorely disappointed. But the deal is, you have to put it into action. Right? You have to put it into action. The Bible is filled with promises and great deals, not TVs, but life-changing things that we need to take a hold of and live out, right? We've got to grab a hold of this, but you don't know what's in the Bible unless you're in the Bible, okay? We would jump on a TV for a 24-pack of AA batteries, and that's like $25, right? And you're getting a $700 TV for free, okay? The Bible is filled with these promises and benefits for us as God's children. But it does us no good to just hear about the offer, right? It's no good. We'll only reap the benefits when we step out in faith and out on God's word. Verse 23 and 24 of James 1 says this: anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. How many are you looking in the mirror? Ready? Look in the mirror. Ooh, right? A man that looks in the mirror at his face and then walks away immediately, forgets what he looks like. How silly is that, right? Now, there's days where I wish that I could forget what I look like, but it's just not happening, right? It's an absurdity, because we won't forget who we look like, right? Are we in agreement? Yeah. And so James is drawing this huge parallel of that difference of, if you are just reading the word of God and you are not doing what it says, it's just like that. It's silly, right? It's absurd to even think about that we would forget what we look like immediately. So today I want to help us to understand what we look like as we face the book. Are you guys with me? If you're with me, say uh-huh. Uh-huh. Now, we all have a choice to live, to walk, and talk in the way that God made us. We all have that choice. Okay? Free moral agents, we have the choice. But here's what the results are. Look at verse 25. But the man who looks intently, everybody say intently, into the perfect law that gives freedom and comes to do this, and continues to do this, excuse me, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, intently, I looked that up in the Greek, and this is what it means in the Greek: to lean forward, to intently lean forward into the word of God, into what it says, okay? Lean forward into that perfect law that gives freedom. The more time that we spend in the word of God, the greater insight we will have to know what we are supposed to look like spiritually, right? So you've heard me say this, but I'm going to ask this question. What does the word Christian mean? It actually means little Christs, right? Mini-me's of Jesus, right? So that is what we're supposed to look like, is Jesus. We're supposed to look like the Son of God. We're supposed to look like Jesus. So today and next week, I'm going to paint an incredible portrait of what this book, the Word of God, says that we look like. You ready? Get your Bibles out. I'm going to lay a foundation. If you have your Bibles, if not, I'll have them up on the screen. But can I just, I'm going to pause. I'm going to interject in this. If you don't bring your Bible, please start bringing your Bible, because that's the first step of getting into the Bible, right? And so this is the easy way. I make it easy for you to see the Word of God, but it's no substitute for having this book in your lap and being able to, I mean, if you can see, I don't know if you can see, the book of Ephesians is like my favorite epistle, and it is just all wrote up, but get in the book. Bring it with you. If you don't have a Bible, let me know. We'll help you get one. But there's some in the racks in the chair in front of you if you want to grab it. But start bringing your Bible, okay? It is a powerful, powerful tool, and it's God's spoken word to us. So let's lay a foundation. What has Christ accomplished? So later today, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I want you to read the entire passage, Ephesians chapter 2. It's 22 verses, right? Later today. We're not going to do it right now, but I want to give you some highlights of this chapter. You guys ready? If you're ready, say uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right, verse 5. God made us alive with Christ and saved us by grace. Verse 6. Seated us with him in the heavenly realm. 7. He expressed his kindness to us in Christ. Verse 8. We were saved by grace, a gift of God. 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near. Verse 14, Jesus is our peace and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Verse 16, Jesus reconciled us to God, and he put to death the hostility between us. Verse 18, through Christ we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Verse 19, Christ made us fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. And verse 22, you too are being built together to become a dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Now let me jump out of Ephesians and go to Galatians 2:20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And then Colossians 1 through 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, all those scriptures give us a tremendous insight into our life in Christ. Did you catch it? So much stuff there, right? So let me illustrate this way. I'm going to invite Delaine. Delaine, will you come up here, please? We've got this amazing thing that's happening here. First of all, I got Delaine Van Dyke to come up on stage. Yeah. That's awesome. Everybody, this is Delaine Van Dyke. Everybody say hi, Delaine.
Hi.
This is everybody. Right? So here's the crazy thing. We have this amazing thing. We've got a picture of your baby on the screen. Pop it up there for me, Corey. Pop it up there. There's your baby.
It's got tears now.
Yeah. Not really her baby. Just going on record. Okay? Not really your baby. But here's the thing. Inside Delaine, and I'm glad this worked out, because all the other pregnant ladies all were having their kids. And I'm like, I'm running out of pregnant ladies. Right? So I'm like, Delaine, can I get her up here? So here's the thing. Okay? Inside of Delaine's womb is a baby. Now, that's a miraculous thing all by itself and a beautiful thing, right? Would we all agree? Beautiful. A baby boy, Yes. Boys rule, right? Now, this new baby is vulnerable. Is vulnerable in life to completely dependent on his mommy, right? Completely dependent on what Delaine does, completely dependent on what she eats, how she takes care of herself, completely dependent, right? He can't just go, man, I'm out of here. Not till it's time, right? And it's getting close, getting close. She's like, yes, right? Okay, but this little guy doesn't have a care in the world, right? No care. And I think that that is the perfect picture of who we are supposed to be in Christ. Colossians says our life is now hidden within Christ in God, right? Hidden. Do you have a name for the baby boy yet?
Not what I'm going to tell you.
Not you're going to tell. Secrets. Okay, we got secrets. But this baby doesn't worry about anything. Why? Because it's not his job to. His job is just to grow, right? It's not his job. That's mama's job, is to worry about this and take care of all the things. Mom has all the responsibility, and she's doing an amazing job. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I would agree, okay? That's right. Yeah, okay? It's up to her to take care of everything that this tiny little boy needs, okay? Thank you. Have a seat. Give her a round of applause. She's amazing. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I want you to do. Delaine, thank you so much. Okay, here's the thing. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to bring this around. In verse 25, 27. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life.
Yep.
What you will eat or drink or eat about your body, whatever you will wear, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who are you by worrying can add a single hour to their life? Just like little baby boy has no worry, just mama's job, right? We just read right there that it's God's job, right? It's God's job. This is the way that we're supposed to approach life. No worries. I'm not singing it, all right? Be happy. Yeah, okay, I can't stop. Here we go. So now let's look at the mirror and discover what the Bible has to say about our life in Christ. You ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. Okay, number one, here it is. We move into our new residence, okay? When we are born again, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, right? We're new creation. We're living in a new residence. Okay, the old Dave, the old you is gone. The new one is coming. We're allowing God to begin to transform our lives. But here's the crazy thing. Paul is preaching this, okay, at Athens, arguing with Greek philosophers and introducing them to his God, and brings this truth and reality to them. And that's recorded in Acts chapter 17. And I love this. Check this out. Let me read it for you. I don't know if I have it on the screen. Apparently I do. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, Paul goes on to say, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So now do you see why I had Delaine come up? Perfect picture of what our relationship with God is supposed to be. Is that just like the baby boy in mama's womb? It's not his responsibility to worry. It's not our responsibility to worry either. Okay? Our responsibility is to put our trust in God. In him we live. But it's so easy to live and think and act and walk and talk and act like the world. It's easy to do that. It takes some effort for us to live and move and act and walk in the things of Christ. And here's the crazy thing. What the world offers cannot compare to what God has done for us through Christ Jesus. There's no comparison, none. Okay? Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 14, and I'm going to read it out of the Message translation. And so if you were here last week, you'll catch part of it. But it says, yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. And I loved what Drew and Annika said when their house fire, right? All the things that they thought were important were gone, right? Paul is saying, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master. Firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant dog dung. That's what it says. It says dog dung. Now that's just in the Message translation. But think about it, the context of that, right? It's everything that he thought was important to him in life was like rubbish, like dog dung, right? That's the comparison that he's drawing. It's a huge, huge contrast there. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ, and I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith. Everybody say, through faith. In Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I've not arrived at my final destination. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining, leaning forward, right? Straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Whew! I don't know about you, but man, I want that. I want that, right? I want that. So we've got to move into that residence, the new residence. Number two is this: his life flows through us. Think of the baby in the womb, okay? 1 John 4:13 says this: we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit, okay? We live in him. 1 Corinthians 1:5 through 9 says, for in him you have been enriched in every way. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Everything that Christ has accomplished was done to provide you and me his grace, his love, his mercy, and life so we can be in him. Right? They're ours because of what Christ done. Number three, we are adopted into the family. Now that piece of it, for years, couldn't wrap my mind around until we adopted Ryan and Jace. That gave me the full picture of what it means to be adopted into God's family. Because although we have two biological boys, Zach and Drew, who we love dearly, they're our own flesh and blood. Ryan and Jace, when we adopted them, they became Ginthers. They get the same inheritance as Ryan, as Drew and Zach do. Right? They get my name, they get us, right? when we are adopted into the family of God, it's the same thing. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. We will be right there with him. You guys picking up what I'm throwing down? So in Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7 says, "So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 17 says this, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." It just said that. "If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Look into the mirror. When we look into the mirror, we should have some resemblance of our Heavenly Father. We should. If you're looking into the mirror of the Word of God and there is not a resemblance of our Heavenly Father, can I just encourage you to accept his free gift of grace called salvation? Right? When you accept Christ as your Savior, you now are beginning to look like Jesus. But it's a process. We've got to be in the book. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us from our old to our new. Right? It's a process. It's a process. It takes time. And so we got to look into the mirror. And I looked up the word error. H-E-I-R. The error. And it says this. "A person who inherits or is entitled by law or by the terms of a will to inherit the estate of another. A person who succeeds or is in line to succeed to a hereditary rank, title, or office. One who receives or is expected to receive a heritage as of ideas from a predecessor." We inherit the heritage of God. We are his heir, right? I don't know about you, but for me, that's exciting. I think I'm the only one that's excited. But I'm excited about this. So let me wrap this up because we're about out of time and just getting started with the benefit package of this deal, right? We're getting started. Please make plans to be here next week because I'm excited for next week as we pick up where we're going to leave off here. But once again, I want to challenge you with this. To spend some quality time this week in the book. Face the book. I dare you to read chapter 2 of Ephesians. It's 22 verses. 21 or 22. It's not hard to read. But read it. 1-22. Yeah, just the whole chapter 2. It is, I'll tell you how many verses it is. It is 22 verses. Read it. Read it every day. This week, and begin to allow that to marinate in your soul a little bit as we wrap this up next week. So stand with me. And one last thought before we sing our closing song. One last thought. I heard this quote a number of years ago, and it has stuck with me for a long time. When it says this, "If Christ controls the inner man, then the world cannot control the outer man." Let me say that again. If Christ controls the inner man, then the world cannot control the outer man. In him we live, we move, we have our being. Let's sing this closing song.